This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. What do you do when your son or your daughter comes home for winter break after that first semester at college and announces to you, "I'm not going back to school"? Joining us to discuss the considerations and steps to take when a student wants to quit or switch schools are Thomas More College Director of the Institute for Learning Differences, Amy Osborne, and Director of Admissions, Justin Vogel, and Cincinnati State Technical and Community College Registrar, Jason Moore. You can be part of the conversation, 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Amy, Jason, and Justin, thank you for being here this afternoon.
Thank you.
So, thanks a lot.
How common is this, that a student in that very first semester comes home and says, "You know, this isn't right. I'm dissatisfied"? How often do you see that in the work that you're doing?
It's pretty common. 1 in 3 college freshmen don't make it to their sophomore year. So the statistics are pretty high. And the impact financially on not completing college is also pretty detrimental to them. So,
yeah. You see this in your work too?
Yeah, we do see this a lot. And it's usually an often not talked about thing that happens in our country, because we still see college as something you go to, you do it, you graduate, and you leave. And the idea of not being able to do that, that sense of internal failure is really hard for students. But even if you don't transfer, say, your first semester, even right now, if you just transfer at all, you're over 37% of students in our country transfer. You're in good company. Mm-hmm. And if you take into consideration, if you bring credits from another school, you're up to 50% of all students end up doing that, end up bringing credit from somewhere else. So she's absolutely right. We see a lot of this. And overall, though, it's becoming more and more the norm about transferring.
Yeah. Justin, what are some of the reasons that students might become dissatisfied during that first semester? What are some of the things that are going on?
Well, I think it's difficult to pinpoint one exact reason. If we knew what the main reason was, we'd
you
try
could
to
solve
stop
the problem.
But, you know, some of the key ones, finances, they're not doing well. They're not prepared. You know, for a first-year student, it's the transitional phase. So trying to figure out how to help make that transition easier is our first way to combat this issue.
Yeah. How much does that culture shock of going from high school into college, how much is that just such a shock that it can make you very dissatisfied in that first semester?
It's absolutely enormous. The student has this newfound freedom, so there's a lot of new social experiences they've not had. So they go from this very directed, highly structured environment of high school into college, where they're much more free, they're self-directed, they're having to maintain those things. So you add a level of possible immaturity, some executive function issues in there, some other challenges, add on the finance. Students are really facing an uphill battle.
And the academics can be tougher, too. That can be.
Absolutely, absolutely. Over 65% of incoming freshmen are academically underprepared for college-level math and English, and that alone is a huge impact.
Jason, can it be as something as simple as a bad roommate, or they're just homesick, or maybe there's a boyfriend or girlfriend back home who's tugging at them saying, you know, transfer or quit and come back home?
Yeah, funny you should mention that. I actually wrote, when I was writing down some things today, that was one of the very first things I've often come across in dealing with transfer students, is oftentimes the student is not engaged with the school in which he or she is going. They're engaged to something, to a relationship. Friends are going to this school. I'm following a boy. I'm following a girl. This is where my parents went. Those kind of reasons trump what it is happening in the school. And when that doesn't foster a real engagement with the school, of course they drop back. And especially being in a city like ours, a major metropolitan area, we have a lot of students who go away. They go to Columbus, Cleveland, Alaska, you name it. And that kind of cultural change doesn't just affect those who could also be possibly underprepared academically. I've seen many students with an ACT of a 34 or higher who left after their first semester. I'm like, look, I think I could do the work. I'm just not clicking here, and I need to regroup.
So once your student comes home and says, "I quit," or mm-hmm. I want out of here, how do you proceed? What's the first step that a parent should take?
I think that honest conversation. Are you in college for the right reason? Do you have the right major? Are you focused on where you're wanting to go? There's a lot of misalignment between what they think they want to do and what their interests really are. So some of those pieces, doing some vocational or job assessments to see what they want to do and what area to start pursuing. And then if they're coming home with bad grades, an honest conversation on why those grades happened. Mm-hmm. So really assessing the situation.
At Thomas More College, we do exit interviews with students that look to withdraw. And the first question we always ask is why? And so I think that's good it's basic. It's obvious. You know, parents should ask why instead of what's next. What are we going to do? But like Amy mentioned, figuring out what's at the root of the problem. Why are you transferring? Why don't you want to go back? And then we can figure out a solution from there.
Mm-hmm. And from my standpoint, I agree wholeheartedly, but also absolutely no judgment whatsoever. If a student is leaving after first semester, they know how that looks to the outside world, even if they're coming home with straight A's. The point is, you didn't complete. It already feels like a failure no matter what. So having absolutely no judgment with that and encouraging to be as honest and open and looking for a positive outcome for this mm-hmm. as much as you can.
Yeah. And is there counseling? You talked about some of the things that you do at Thomas mm-hmm. More. Is there counseling available for students that can help them get through these rough patches?
Absolutely. So as parents are looking for the next step, if they're considering college, it's very important to develop those resources. And looking at the school's counseling services as well as any academic support programs that there are is a big step to make sure.
Academic support like tutoring and that kind of thing?
Yes. And what the school does have to offer. And that's a good place to reach out and start to see where to change and what to do.
Now, if a student talks about transferring, that's got some big considerations behind that, doesn't it, Jason?
Mm-hmm. Well, yes. The biggest thing to think about is to transfer, especially after the first semester, there are some hang-ups for students that are easily resolved, such as you may not have a transcript yet. Right now at Cincinnati State, we finished our classes on this Saturday. There is no transcript for you yet. There won't be one until grades are due next week. So trying to go to another school, there's going to be a slight delay, but schools are ready to help that student go ahead and go forward. If a parent and a child come to the agreement that, yes, going to another school is the best option, as opposed to, yes, a break may be the best for him or her.
How challenging is it to transfer, Justin?
It can be extremely challenging.
Sounds like it. Based on what Jason's saying, there can be all kinds of things to think about.
Yeah. You know, our professional organizations that we work with in enrollment admissions, this is always a hot topic, is how do we help transfers? Because there can be so many hurdles, and things happen very quickly. As he said, you know, their transcripts may not be completed till Saturday, but that's less than a month away from the start of our term mm-hmm. In the spring. So to get all of those documents in, all the financial aid put in place, and get that student in classes, it has to happen very quickly.
And Amy, are certain levels of – for instance, we're talking about people who are in their first year of college mm-hmm. – is it realistic to think that you're going to get preference when you talk about transferring? Because isn't it usually like if you're a junior, you get more preference if you say you want to transfer?
It really depends on the school you're looking at and where you're wanting to go. So each school has a different system of evaluating how they're taking transfer students, what credits they're going to transfer in, and what that will help the student do. So it's really dependent on the school they're looking at.
You know, what are the financial considerations that you have to take into account when you're thinking about transferring?
So for instance, if you're currently taking federal financial aid of any kind, you're going to have to re-identify which school it is that you're going to be going to in the future. A financial aid office of the school you want to go to will help you with that. Maybe your FAFSA has to change, which you can do online. There are a lot of little pieces to the puzzle, but it's definitely something doable, and the college that you want to go to will more than be happy to help you get through that. We take show-ups all the time. We call them show-ups. I'm not sure what you call them when they drop in. That's what we're focusing on right now, between now and the rest of the semester, is that we're waiting for those people who are like, you know, I'm just raising my hand right now. I need help. I'm going to regroup. I think I'm going to come here closer to home. Can you all help me? And that's where we are.
Yeah. Does it make sense to take a semester off sometimes and regroup, you think, Amy?
Sometimes it does. Sometimes it's important to take more than a semester off. There's some development, psychological, cognitive development that students don't necessarily all have at the level they enter college. Executive function challenge, the ability to navigate college and life, prioritize, multitask, those are things that we see a lot of freshmen coming in struggling with. So if they're not able to do that, they're going to have a difficult time navigating college life.
And for Cincinnati State, what we would say for that is, because we are a community college, I mean, that's our mission, is to deal with students who maybe life has really happened up front. We get students all the time. I have to come home. My grandparent, my mother is sick. I'm the primary caregiver. And we designed their education in such a way where they can do that life and also possibly go ahead and do classes, make it easier for them to get to that kind of access.
Absolutely. Small schools are great for that. If you know, we at Thomas More have a couple support programs as well that work with students. And that's something if you're looking to transition a student into, you really have to look for those supports.
Justin, is there a little bit of risk in taking some time off, though, in terms of you might take the time off and never go back?
Absolutely. And that's something that we tell students. I mean, the facts are that once you leave college and you're out a semester, you're much less likely to come back. So while it may be the right option for your situation, we certainly know that you are putting yourself at risk by not continuing that next semester. And so we, you know, at Thomas More, what we always say is there's a lot of really good colleges, but there's probably only one good fit. And so when you start looking at transferring, that's what you're doing is you're trying to find the right fit.
Is it possible for a student to say, I'm going to be a visiting student at a different college, go visit, see if this, you know, they always say the grass is greener on the other side, go check it out and see if the grass really is greener and not leave your original school. Is that a possibility?
Definitely, that's a possibility. A visiting student generally for schools is a category for those who they still identify with a home school, whatever that may be. And their financial aid is still tied to that home school, but they can take courses at the visiting school. And there's even ways through a financial aid consortium to use your aid to pay for that, to kind of get a taste for that. But also, we live in a great city that has what's called the GC3. It used to be called the Greater Cincinnati Consortium of Colleges and Universities, where we actually allow our member institutions, of which Thomas More is one, Cincinnati State, and many others, we allow our students to actually take courses at each other's campus to help fulfill degree requirements so they actually graduate on time, if not a little bit sooner, and get experience in other schools. It's a fantastic program.
Maybe some of the problem starts with that initial college choice process. The kids pick a school for the wrong reason. So how do you counteract that in the outreach and the admissions process?
Well, it's difficult. You know, when a student's enrolled at another university or college, we cannot reach out to them. We can't reach out to students that are enrolled at Cincinnati State and say, are you sure that's the right fit? We think you should come to Thomas More. It's
right.
Not right.
And vice versa.
right. And we don't want them doing that to us. So all we can really do is wait for them to self-select and then provide the best possible resources to them to say, here's what we can offer you and here's how we can do it. And the key for us is giving them as many answers as possible in that first interaction. So if we know that it's about completion, how quickly can they complete their degree? How many of their credits are going to transfer and what is the cost going to be to them? So if we can answer all of those questions in the very first conversation, we can make that process a lot easier on that student.
So the idea, Jason, is to have a conversation with them, make sure that they're going for the right reason.
Yes. So for us, the two questions we often ask right up front is, okay, so you're a first semester transfer student. There's a story there. You don't have to tell us your story, but I'm sure there's a story. And is your what you want to do go back to a 4-year school? You know why I think it is? We have a path for you. Which school is it? You name any school. We will actually make a path of courses for them to take to get back to that school. Or if it could be, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I'm a 4-year person. I am someone – I want to – in the next 2 years, I'm going to go out and I want to work. I'm going to support myself. And they're like, okay, here's your path. And we get you going that way.
But Amy, in talking to high school kids, I guess it's very important to get what the school is going to be like.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we at Thomas More have student ambassadors. Some of our students sit in courses. We do a lot of outreach. They can visit the different programs for a day. So it's very important for them to get some understanding of the college experience at Thomas More before they make their choice.
So what advice would you have for parents? I mean, we talked about how do you start this conversation, but what's some other advice that you have for parents in dealing with this particular issue?
I think that honest conversation, and I think seeking services to identify what the goals of the student are going to be are the two most important pieces. Find a way for them to identify what the student outcome, what they want to do with the college degree or their career path, and then that'll give them a direction on what to go next.
Mm-hmm. Jason?
For me, it would I do – during our orientation sessions, I do a session called What Families and Parents Should Know. So I talk to parents exclusively while their child is going through the rest of orientation. And one of the things I tell them is, regardless of what school your son or daughter are going to attend, you are the one who knows your child the best. And look for signs as early as possible if there's something you feel is going wrong with their education. So my often quoted phrase is, mom and dad, Remember, watch out for that four-letter word you never want to hear your child say. I'm fine. That is not,
that's not
fine.
For free time. Fine.
Right, exactly.
I have plenty of free time.
That you're like, okay, you're fine. That's neither good nor bad. Could you elaborate a little bit and start digging in? And you'll find out pretty quickly, generally around Halloween and before Thanksgiving, you'll find this out, as opposed to Merry Christmas, I feel my life is coming apart and I need help.
Yeah. Justin, what would you have to say?
Pick up the phone and give us a call. Call the university or college your student's enrolled at, and ask them what services are available. As long as a student, we recommend all of our students that want interaction with their parents sign a FERPA release form. But if they've done that, we can work with the parents to let them know the status of how their student's doing and how they can help parent their student to do the things that they need.
What would you tell parents not to do? What might be a bad way to approach this?
I think that judgment, judging a student for not being as successful as they had hoped going in. Everybody goes off to college with big dreams and this rosy picture of what the outcome will be, and it's not always the case. So try to be very supportive. Try to learn how to transition into that supportive role and teaching the student to advocate for themselves, but really being supportive and non-judgmental is a big piece.
I agree 100%. I can't stress strongly enough the idea that by a student identifying, whether to a parent or a counselor or a schoolmate, that this isn't working and I think I'm going to have to make a change, that's a huge sentence to say. That is a nerve-wracking, huge sentence to say. And to take that, and without the response of, tough, you're in it for the long haul. You need to stay. And although I've had some friends whose parents did that, and it ended up working okay for them.
Sometimes I wonder if tough love might not be appropriate in a case like this.
Well, and again, I wouldn't suggest it. What I would say is you're the parent. You know your child the best. And if that is really what's going on, you parent the way you wish. But in my instance, or listening to other people, it's something more. I was a transfer student, not first semester. But when I finally had that, like, listen, guys, I think I need some help here, my parents were fantastic and supported me in transferring. And my next school was wonderful, Denison University. It was wonderful. Yeah. I had a great experience.
So that worked out for you?
Yes, it did. I'm a huge success story.
Justin, what would you tell parents not to do? What would you tell them how not to approach this whole conversation?
Amy hit it on the head. It's judgment.
Just don't judge.
Yeah. As soon as the conversation turns negative, then the student's going to be turned off, and it's very hard for them to open back up to the opportunities and the resources that are available to them.
Absolutely. It takes a lot of courage to say, I need help.
Yes. Right.
Let's talk to Syl, I believe it is. Syl, real quickly here. Syl, we've got just about 45 seconds left. You wanted to make a couple of points. Go right ahead.
Two points that I've learned after 32 years. One is we should give, let's say the person is going to go, wants to study psychology, let them have a psychology class, kind of a taste of where they're going to, because instead we put them in all these one classes, and to them it's just an extension of high school. We've got to give them a taste of where you're going. Second thing I've learned is when people apply for a degree and then they don't graduate, they march and they don't finish the semester, we ran a report and called them during the winter break. And we got about 75% of those kids come re-enroll because we know to say you were supposed to have graduated in the fall and you didn't, and you come back. The longer you wait, the more they get in debt and they won't finish. Thanks a lot, my friends. Keep it up.
Thank you, Syl. Thanks for the call. Anybody want to make a quick comment?
I think he's got some great points. I'm not going to I think the courses that he may be slightly more negative on, what we call general education courses, I'm a huge fan of. We need breadth and knowledge of our students. But
agree.
Yes, we do. We strive, and I believe Thomas More is the exact same way. We strive that whatever major you're in, we get you a taste for that right up front, because that's where a student is more possible to get engaged with the college.
Yeah, we call those sticky interactions. How many sticky interactions can we give a student to keep them
engaged? Well, thank you all for joining me today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thomas More College, Director of the Institute for Learning Differences, Amy Osborne, and Director of Admissions, Justin Vogel, and Cincinnati State Technical and Community College Registrar, Jason Moore.